This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. It's a promotion special episode this time around as we congratulate Plymouth Argyle and Ipswich Town, who both set new club records at the weekend as they put their divisions to automatic promotion places. And we'll be joined by not one, but two managers who tasted success over the past week.
That moment was special. It was almost felt after the FA Cup semi-final as if there was an expectation that it was just going to happen, when we knew internally we still needed 3 points.
Every manager says the best feeling in the world is when the referee blows the full-time whistle for 10 seconds. When the referee blows the final whistle last Saturday, that's the best feeling ever.
It's the official EFL podcast. So, after a two-year absence, Sheffield United are back in the Premier League. We can talk to the man who got them there, manager Paul Heckingbottom. What on earth has the last week been like, Paul?
Yeah, listen, I think obviously we achieved our goal and the celebrations have been good. Whether that's been the staff, the players, the fans, everyone together, it's been great, a great week. But we've also got a lot of football to be played in that week and in the upcoming week. And we've also got a lot of things going off at the football club, which we need to work at, myself and the board, to give us a good chance for next season.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to congratulate you in sheer footballing terms, but also congratulate you about this has all been achieved under the strain of ownership hurdles and a transfer embargo and all the rest of it. But that moment when the final whistle goes and you know you've achieved your season's objective, you just have to embrace, cuddle and kiss that moment, don't you, Paul?
Yeah, definitely. But I think we've got good, Clem, make sure we celebrate all the wins. We've made a big thing of that. It's important. It's what we do it for. We enjoy winning. But that moment was special. It was almost felt after the FA Cup semi-final as if there was an expectation that it was just going to happen, when we knew internally we still needed 3 points because we had to expect Borough, Luton and the teams behind us to be winning. But our form in April, obviously we got a man sent off against Burnley in the first 15 minutes. But apart from that, in the other six league games, we've won every one. So we've sort of given no one a chance to get close to us. So for us to do it at the first time of asking in that game against West Brom, was we couldn't have writ it any better. You know, it's gone to plan, allowed us to celebrate, and allowed that moment of relief and for everyone to be excited and celebrate together in the two home games that we've had at Bramall Lane.
It's that word relief, isn't it? It's what just about every manager says when they get over the line. And, you know, I was watching the pictures of Wrexham 10 days ago, and Phil Parkinson at that moment, he just looked as though his eyes were going to close and he was going to go to sleep. I don't think people realise the pressure, the strain that you guys are under, carrying the weight and expectations of, in your case, half a city on your shoulders.
Yeah, listen, it's there and it's... obviously it's a tough part of the job, but it's the bit that makes it rewarding. You know, when you achieve like this, it's so satisfying. You've been proud. I'm proud of everyone we've been working with. I'm delighted for everyone who comes to watch us. There's been a lot of good work gone off at the club. I know we've had not the best of headlines because of things going off, but there's a real sense of togetherness at the minute around the football club, and that's great. Really, really proud of that. But yeah, there's certainly... I probably had it on Monday when I was watching the football, that little bit of realisation, and then fatigue set in and a little bit tired, and all of a sudden, whoosh, you know, that adrenaline goes. But then guess what? It all starts again for the next season, the next day. So that's how it is. Like I said, I think that's why we work hard to enjoy the games and enjoy the wins, because you've just got to keep rolling and get on with it the next day for the next game.
You did not do that old man thing of allowing your eyes to close on the sofa for 15 minutes there, did you, Paul? Did you allow yourself a small nap?
A nap? It's more like being unconscious. Yeah.
there's lots of different aspects to this I want to delve in. It might seem like a strange question, but I wondered how the emotion compares doing it in pure professional terms as you have with Sheffield United v. achieving promotion at Barnsley with the personal involvement in that as well, memories of your granddad and you going to watch them, etc. Does it feel different?
Yeah, it is different, but for those reasons. It is different. This football club's huge, and I've got to know a lot of people here. So before I took the job, I was already invested in the club, and yeah, everything that comes with it. You mentioned the stuff behind the scenes. So there's a lot more to deal with. There's been a lot more factors other than football to manage, you know, when you talk about being a manager. So the satisfaction and pride I take from this is totally different to the satisfaction and pride you take from taking your hometown club up, you know. And me and Chris, when Chris was here, we spoke about it a lot. It is different. There's a different type of responsibility. It's the experiences whilst they're both, you're elated, you're proud, you've achieved something great. They're totally different in other ways, just for that personal connection, and then your individual environment and the individual things that you're going through at that moment during that season.
And I suppose the other aspect to this as well is, obviously, there's absolute managerial carnage going on out there. And you've had a tricky path since Barnsley, with Leeds, with Hibs, and then, you know, into the academy at United, first team temporarily, back in the academy. And on. Does that also, as humble as you're going to be in answer to this question, does it extend the enjoyment and feel-good factor personally, because you have had a couple of bumps since your last one?
Yeah, but it's a reminder. I think there's I'm watching manager, I'm seeing when people lose a job, and I've said it hundreds of times, those people won't be the worst performing people at those football clubs. They could arguably still be the best performing, but there's an expectation, and there's an understanding, and whether it's right or wrong, that whatever's happening, the manager will go, you know, to change things around. If you run a football club properly, in my eyes, that shouldn't always be the case. And if you do run a football club properly, then you will be sure when it's the right time to hire and fire managers, no problem. There's that because I'm sort of, I've had the experiences, been hardened to it. I get all that. That's no problem. But it's just, I think the skill set and the things that you learn over time, through success, through failure, through different challenges, through working with this is my sixth different ownership group now, and every one of those have been totally different, you know, so that you can imagine a dynamic of a football boardroom, and then how crazy and different that is in every different club. But you still got to be able to manage that and have relationships there if you want to be, I wouldn't even say successful, if you want to stay in a job, you know. So yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. It is a big, big part of what we do. I don't always think it should be that way. If like I said, if a football runs really clear and everyone knows the roles and responsibilities, a football manager could just get on with the football. But at the minute, it's not like that. You'd be very lucky to find that.
You went a slightly different education route, in so much as you went to uni to... Well, it was a coaching specialisation, wasn't it? But when you went to Leeds Uni, there was a slightly different twist on it to purely doing your coaching badges, was it not? I just wondered if that prepared you for all that stuff you've just described, six different ownership groups, etc.
No, because I was purely focused on coaching and the subtleties of it and the thought process, not just your badges and learning the game. I think if you've been in the game since you were knee high, you know the game, but coaching and affecting an environment, understanding the psychology of certain situations and the social dynamic of people, it was all good for that. But I think in terms of managing a football club and dealing with a board and things like that, I think the only thing it opens your eyes to is dealing with different people, and you're not always in the bubble of football. And I think the biggest thing I'd say to anyone, and I probably learnt it the hard way, is you can't expect your boss, if you're a football manager, you can't be expecting your boss to understand football like you, to be used to the spotlight like you, to be used to the criticism like you. And sometimes you have to be very aware of that, I think, when you're speaking to your superiors, if you like, and I'm speaking to owners and the board. We sort of come to terms when you're having a bad game, or you You're getting dropped from a team. You're told why. You're judged every day. And so we have been. But a lot of the time when people step into this environment and the spotlight and the expectation, all that becomes new. And those pressures you were speaking about in my role also become shared to other people who's not had that before. So I think you have to have a level of understanding as well to how the pressures of chasing a promotion, fighting a relegation can affect and deal with other people as well within the group that you're working.
So that's communicating with people bits that they might not know about. When you have had the ownership issues, the off the field issues, have you shared with the squad or have you provided a shield to stop it getting into the dressing room?
No, and I don't need to know. I think I've not quizzed Prince Abdullah and the board too much about it. They've kept me in the loop if I've needed to be, but for two reasons. I don't want a distraction and certainly don't want the players a distraction. I think when there has been anything that's spilt over into our environment and our performance environment, we've just had to put the blinkers on and focus on the next game. And the message has always been, and it's been to every single person, Prince Abdullah and the board, to the players, the coaching staff, that everyone's goal, everyone's end goal is a promotion. Everyone has got what they want if they get promotion. Whoever's here next season, whatever we go on and do in our lives, we have all benefited from working together this season and being united and being, you know, as focused as we could possibly be to put the blinkers on, zone out the distractions and get on with trying to win football matches.
When I look at EFL promotions so far and automatic, obviously we've only got, let me have a think about this, one left, haven't we, to do. There seems to me to be a pattern. With the exception of Burnley, there's either it's been a continuation of work that started during the second half of last season. That would apply to certainly to Ipswich, to Leyton Orient, to Stevenage. Or there's been a bit of a setback, Plymouth missing out on the last game of last season, Northampton being overturned by Bristol Rovers. And you obviously had your playoff disappointment. How did you use that to get a little bit more out of the tank this time around, the setback 12 months ago?
I think two ways it's been really useful is straight after the game, we all came back to Bramall Lane, staff and players. We all had a beer together and it was important, I think, that we dealt with that, because don't forget we had other issues went off on the pitch as well, which were things we don't want to ever repeat. So there was a lot of fallout from that game. So we were all together that night, myself, Jack and Mac, all to sit down with every player the day after and quickly focus our attention to next season. That was important. The hunger, the drive, we did really well in the close season. We didn't have much business to do, but we did it really well and we did it as early as we could so we could hit the ground running. And so I think that was important that we dealt with it and we used it as fuel. But then also during the season, any moments when we were struggling in October with injuries and we were fielding, weakened sides, we were low in numbers. And then when we had clubs close on our heels, Luton, Middlesbrough, we had the confidence and the knowledge that we'd been playing at this level for over 12 months. You know, we'd been performing and winning games. It wasn't a fluke we were up there. It wasn't like we'd had a new manager bounce. It wasn't like we'd just got recruited some players and there was a little bit of energy and a different fizz to the training. We'd been playing at that level, promotion level, for a long, long time. And that filled me with confidence, filled the player with confidence. It's just meant we've had to do it for a lot longer than 46 games to eventually get what we set out to achieve. So, yeah, I think that's where last season was really helpful for us.
It's no mean feat, though, to be that consistent over that period of time. At any point, you would have been fearful that one of those two you've mentioned might catch you, but was there ever a point where you...
Never.
No?
Never,
no?
Never.
Okay.
Never. Everyone else was. I mean, the narrative around it was mental at times, you know, and listen, and that was good fuel for us as well. We've used every little bit we can get. But never, ever, we had games in hand, we were always points in front, but yet people had us as second favourites. So we were well aware of that. Well aware of that. But again, our record over this season, last season, is better than anyone's. Our record stacked up since middle of the change managers is better than anyone's. So, yeah, we were well aware of the narrative and the stories going around places, but we just laughed at it. Yeah, it was never a problem.
All right, let me flip to the one team above you who have been pretty prolific. I'm sure you would respect what they've achieved, as I'm sure they respect what you've achieved. Did the pace that they set from, say, late October, early November onwards, did that in any way enable you to get an extra 5, 6, 9 points out of the squad just by going, come on, guys, we're going to have to keep up. You've got to give me that extra 10%.
No, I think we had that. It all came from us. I think we were up there. We had a great start. Like I said, in October, we had a real tough few months right up until the World Cup break with how stretched we were. We managed to pick up some real good results before the World Cup and then go again. But for Burnley, at the minute, they've lost 3 games. That's right. It's remarkable. You know, we've been on the heels in terms of wins. You know, we're right up there. We're on 27. I think they're on 28. But they've managed to turn a lot of the losses we've had into draws, and that's why they're in front of us. But I think the reassuring thing there was, and when you speak back to the other teams who were behind us, the margin between us and Burnley was very similar to the margin between us and the teams behind us. And it always feels like the teams behind you could catch you. Does that make sense? But you never really feel like you're going to catch Burnley when that's the match. So I think we took a lot of confidence from that as well, that we were always holding that distance between third place that Burnley were holding between us. So, yeah, we have to tip us hat to Burnley. And I think we would have loved to have played them at Turf Moor, like I said, 11v11, but we made an error. We got man sent off. And that, I think, because I think that would have been a real good spectacle for the Championship, the two top teams going at each other. But it wasn't to be, but we can't complain about that. We've held strong in all the other games between then and now.
Cup run, was that in any way, did that in any way contribute to the momentum? You know, when you are beating a Spurs of this world, or everybody's poking sticks at you when you're up against Hollywood Wrexham and you've got to steer your way through that. Did that add a little extra 5% to the mix too?
No, I think, listen, there's at times when if you're just purely judging on our league schedule, where we're stretched sometimes, you could say we could do without the games. But I think what it did show was the mentality of the group, how we try and approach things. It's just to win. We just try and win. We had 10 men in the last few minutes of the game at Wrexham, and we were a goal down, and he scores, and his reaction shows how much we wanted to win. You know, it's not, and we were told, no, you should be, no, we just want to win, whoever's in front of us. It was the same effort against Wrexham as it was against Spurs, you know? And I think it probably shows a lot about the group and how we try and approach every day. And we had some great games. We obviously had the two games against Wrexham, Spurs, a ding-dong game against Blackburn in the quarter-final. And the third round for us was a really strong 2-0 victory away at Millwall, which everyone knows how tough it is to go. So, yeah, we took a lot of confidence from those games, but I think more importantly, both us and the fans, certainly by the end of it, took a lot of enjoyment from that cup run as well, and enjoyed the distraction of the league and what the cup can bring.
I'm just going to remind everybody, obviously you and Burnley have taken the two automatic places. Then come Luton on 79 points, Middlesbrough on 74 already, but their places in the playoffs. And then we have 5 clubs separated by 3 points, from Coventry in 5th on 69 points, then Millwall in 6th on 68, and then Sunderland, followed by West Brom, followed by Blackburn Rovers on 66. You know, when you've qualified for the playoffs, where are you on the importance of maintaining momentum? Because Luton have managed to go straight through and keep their unbeaten run going. Middlesbrough have been a little bit blotchy at times and have lost 2 in a row. Do you have to get that balance right between preserving energy for the big 3 games, fingers crossed, to come, v not tippling too far backwards that you can't get going again?
Yeah, I think everyone would like to win the games going into it. So I look at Luton's form has been incredible. You know, they've been unbeaten for a long, long time. They're very comfortable, even if the opposition have the ball and may look to be on top. I still watch Luton and think they're going to win this by a single goal. You know, that's just the confidence that they deliver because they keep doing it time after time. So I think Rob will want to maintain that because that is evident. That is something that their opponents will be well aware of. If that bubble bursts, that that willingness to win, that infallibility, if you like, disappears. So they'll be really keen to maintain that. Borough are there, as you say, maybe experiencing a couple of injuries now, things like that. But they've got good players. And again, they'll fancy themselves in knockout football without a doubt. And then I think whoever achieves, because of how tight the last two spaces are, whoever achieves those last two spaces will automatically take that momentum and elation into the playoffs because it's not confirmed till the last day. So I don't think they have to worry about anything. And I think just from my point of view, I said it, and this is why one of the reasons I'm delighted that we managed to achieve it against West Brom. All of a sudden now I'm well aware of how tight the playoffs are, the relegation battle, League One, relegation, promotion, the Premier League relegation. And I'm sitting back with me beer in my hand watching the football and enjoying it. So it's been, that's a nice thing from our point of view. But I'm well aware of the experiences and the emotions that each of those managers, each of those players are going through at those clubs.
Yeah. I mean, two teams already down, Wigan and Blackpool. I've got to share with listeners that we are recording this before you play Huddersfield. So we don't know at this stage whether Reading might have joined them or not. If you don't mind, Paul, I'm just going to read this weekend's fixtures so everybody knows. So you're at Birmingham, your final game in the Championship. Burnley entertain Cardiff. It is Huddersfield against Reading. Luton entertain Hull. Middlesbrough play Coventry. Could be a playoff game a week later. Millwall against Blackburn are two of those playoff contenders, I've said, and the final playoff contender are Sunderland, who go to Preston. Is there a little bit at the bottom of the table of resources don't lie, two of the smaller teams in Wigan and Blackpool having gone down, that it does catch up with you?
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. You have to overachieve if that's it, but that's everyone's aim. And it can be done. I think there has to be a plan behind the scenes. And I think once you get there, if you can keep nudging things forward and making increments and good decisions, whether that's to your playing budget, whether that's to your facilities behind the scenes, then you can achieve it. You can go up. But we know it's not a level playing field. Football isn't. You know, we're going to be punching next season, you know, in the Premier League. But the moment you go up there and just think it's all down to the budget, you're probably doomed. So there's lots of teams done it before. I said before, at the start of our season, if that was the be-all and end-all, we should be getting worse every season because we've been declining with our resources, you know. So you've got to, I think, acknowledge where you are but also make the best of it. But you're certainly handicapped and you certainly can't compete in the same way as other teams for the same type of players, but you can get the right type of player and you can do the right type of recruitment and you can make that your strength, if you like, and what you are and what sets you apart from your competitors.
I mean, you said you're already turning your attention to next season. Are you worried that if the ownership issues carry on, it might prevent you from getting a clear sense of direction from the ownership group as to not just what you've got, but the overall ethos of the football club? Because there's going to be a point, Paul, where you're going to need to pulling bodies in or letting bodies go.
We're doing
go
it now, Clem. We can't. It's the same as, so let's say we've had this, so the moment it becomes an issue, that's when we fail. We've had the same mentality throughout the season where we have to carry on regardless. And I've been chatting with the ownership now, so our plans are with our current board and Prince Abdullah and our resources we've got now. That's it. If that changes in 4 weeks' time, in 2 months' time, in 6 months' time, then we'll work with what we've got then. But at the moment in time, we can't be waiting for anything. We're going to get on with what we've got and make the best of it. That's it. And if circumstances change, they change.
You seem remarkably fresh, give or take. You confessed that you were zonked out on the sofa the other night. At some point, because you've got to go again and get another 10 months out of yourself, will you manage to get a few days at least where your head's not being bombarded with football stuff and enjoy the family and just step back a little bit? Because that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's something I know I've not always been good at, and I need to do it. I've got real good staff here who help me out, and I can get moments if I need them. I've also got better myself at knowing when I need them to perform, because I can, instead of losing your temper and lose your head and being ineffective, I think it's important to recognise when you're going yourself and you need that moment away. So that's no problem. I know, it's probably the most important thing for me, that making sure I manage that side of it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something that comes, the more you do, the more confidence you get in yourself, isn't it? Managing your own energy levels, not spreading yourself too thin, making sure you do replenish, because there's going to be times in deep midwinter when you might just need a little bit that you've got in that reserve tank.
Yeah, definitely. That, I think the biggest thing, it's about delivering. And so what do you need to be, how do you be at your best to deliver? And that maybe can't be every day, you know, so sometimes step away, but you need impact. You need to be able to deliver, because ultimately it's your job on the line, as we've been speaking about. So yeah, it's really important, I think, to know yourself and understand that without a shadow of a doubt. And then have people around you who are good for you and also can take up the slack as well.
I want to finish on an absolute high. Have you got a story of somebody's life that has been affected by this promotion, or is there an image in your head from last week during the celebrations? Is there something there that kind of epitomizes job done for you?
Job done. It was probably the dressing room after the game. So if you've been at Bramall Lane and the home dressing room, the lads are in there. There's a little staff dressing room at the side, but everyone was in the same dressing room. And I think that, for me, that's probably that along with taking a moment on the pitch and making sure I enjoyed it. Because I remember that as a player, the emotion of it, the drinks, you're maybe not taking everything in. Whereas I made sure I looked round and saw the players with the fans with the players. And then in the dressing room, the players with the staff and the staff with the players. And I think that's a proud moment. So I say all the time to the players, and I think they do get what I mean now. You feel responsible for them to feel like your children, even though, you know, there's a few not far behind me. They do, and you protect them and you do anything for them. So when they achieve something great, you take a lot of satisfaction out of that. So that was for me personally, and probably managers will probably know what I'm on about, but none of the others will probably know what I'm on about. That was a good moment for me to see the players with the fans and vice versa, and then the staff with the players as well and vice versa. It was a proud moment that I enjoyed that.
Hecky, congratulations to you all on your magnificent achievement. Well done, mate.
Thanks, mate. Good to speak to you.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Our second guest this week is in familiar territory. Steve Evans has just added another promotion to his CV, this time taking Stevenage back into Sky Bet League One after a 9-year absence. I get very confused as to how many promotions we're talking about, because on the BBC on Saturday afternoon, in my head, I was calling it your eighth, but then everybody else has called it your seventh. But then you've told me there were a couple of kind of lower non-league ones took.
Yeah,
to how many is it, Steve?
Yeah, I think it is nine. And the reason it's nine, because I count every one of them, because I don't think, you know, getting promoted at Stamford way back when I started is any different to getting promoted when I went to the Championship with Rotherham. Promotion becomes your life. So a simple calculation is two at Stamford, two at Boston, two at Crawley, two at Rotherham, and one at Stevenage. So it's nine, for me, it's nine, but some people don't refer to Stamford counting, but I do.
Fine. Good. Glad we've clarified that. So glad that the entire country's media over the weekend managed to get that.
I think Big Sam talks about his success at Limerick, and he's at Leeds. He's at Leeds now. So, So similar things. You, if you value it, you care about it.
Yeah. The older that you get, and the more of them that you have, I mean, does the feeling change?
I think the older you get and you you don't have one for a few years, you realise that they don't come around often. And it's what I used with my players for probably the last five or six games of the season, that don't dismiss opportunity, because me included, none of us in this dressing room might be on the verge of a promotion for many years, if at all. So they're just, I think as you get older, you certainly value them more. You don't think there's lots more to come, although you believe that you can achieve it again.
So when you haven't had any for a while, and I think I'm right in saying your last came in 2014, again,
I guess
without bragging as such, well, you won't want to do that, but the feel-good factor, the sense of, I still know what I'm doing. I'm you know, no, but you know, like, you're a human being. So if you haven't had any for a few years, for whatever reasons or circumstances, we might start to think, oh, have I burnt my, you know what I mean? Like, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not intending this as an insult, but you're a human being.
I think you're right, Clem. I think when you were, say, for example, when I was younger and you didn't get a promotion for an odd year, you'd be thinking, my players have not delivered, the officials have been poor, we've not got the resources to make it up. And I think you look for excuses. I think the older you get, you look inside before you look outside. And so every promotion that comes with, if you look inside every game that goes past, the hurt is there when you don't win. And the joyous feeling when you win is still there. And if it leads to a promotion, every manager says the best feeling in the world is when the referee blows the full-time whistle for 10 seconds. When the referee blows the final whistle last Saturday, that's the best feeling ever of a whole season that brought some absolutely magical moments in the whole season.
Yeah, but I'm not sure you answered the question, which was probably long-winded, as mine tend to be, Steve. But my question was, does even a big managerial character like yourself suffer from occasional self-doubt when you do have a famine of a period without necessarily getting one of the big prizes?
I think you can do. I think it depends who you have around you. I think when we hit it, and we'll come on to it, I think when we hit a little wobble, if you call it a wobble, back in February into March, I needed my wife. She is the most positive girl in the world. And I can remember going, we'll touch on this further, but I remember going down on my way down to the Swindon game, and she's dropping me down for the coach, and she's saying, you can do this. Remember, you've been over the line so many times. You've climbed the hill, you've got over the mountain, and they get your troops with you. They're giving everything for you. They're on their backs at the end of every game. And my talk at Swindon, and fair to say against Grimsby, was quite special.
I, do you know what? I mean, I guess that's what a long-term relationship is all about, isn't it? And maybe occasionally in the past, if you've been getting a bit too big for your boots, she's hauled you in as well at the same time as Sarah,
Yeah, she's... I like to think there's one boss in this house, and there's only two of us, and it's not me.
yeah. So. Like, but great... I'll tell you what, great counsel to have. You alluded to that blip. By my calculation, you won five of your last six after winning three of your previous 14.
Yeah, I think there was a whole lot of reasons that within the camp, that when we do the analysis with the chairman, which we're doing next week, Clem, is for sure, we had four emergency loan goalkeepers from January. So as such, it was something quite unique. We lost our goalkeeper, we brought one in, we lost him through injury, we brought one in, we lost them. So that was quite unique. So that was quite unsettling. A lot of those games we were sharing the spoils and not winning them. And therefore, you know what draws does. Draws doesn't really win you promotions or championships at the end of the day. And I think we were, you know, after we were on the wrong end of some wrong decisions. I can remember being at Hartlepool where we drew a few weeks before the end of the season. And I'm going to say this, but the match assessor was Mike Dean. And he said to me, he said, I thought we should have had a big decision. Mike agreed. And then he actually volunteered and said, well, I came down with Tranmere to Stevenage a few weeks back. How you didn't get two penalties was beyond me. And I said, I bet you were saying there were not penalties on the day. And he just giggled. But so a little bit of that. But you know what? Over the season, we've had some, we get some against us. We had a blip. We kept the boys' confidence high. We kept speaking about we've built a vacuum of points. Not many teams have. I think Richie had it. At Leighton Orient, they built a vacuum of points. We did. No one else did. And you can see how it's harmed them in the last week or two. You know, they had run out of vacuum. We still had a little bit to go. We knew Swindon would be massive, absolutely massive. And we didn't hide it. We knew we had to win at Swindon. And the boys have been brilliant, Clem, and they did it.
Yeah. Magnificent. Actually, you're reinforcing the point that the guys on the ITV Highlights program show made at the weekend, which was, I mean, probably you and Leighton Orient effectively, and not demeaning the work over the second half of the season, but probably the first half of the season, it then became a matter of just do what's necessary to get over the line, did it not, Steve?
Yeah, I think that was the mission. I think because we were in such a good position, you know, at one point we're level with Leighton Orient, we're beating 3-0 at home. It could have been more, I think Richie would say it. But every week we're in the dressing room, we'd be drawing, giving away a scrappy goal in her opinion, and Leighton Orient would be getting over the line with a magical goal, a 35-yard volley into the roof of the net, and you're thinking, oh. So, but both of us did enough up until February to allow us, and they had a poor spell, Leighton Orient, not as damning as ours, but that allowed us to have some breathing spaces as the season came to its climax.
What's the Steve Evans promotion template? Are there certain characteristics that were there with promotion one that remain with promotion nine? Stuff that you've always done vis stuff that you've added to your mix over the years?
Yeah, I think if I'm being perfectly honest with you, I went back at Stevenage last summer. We made some big decisions to let, in our opinion, some good players go. You know, we came in and the club was second bottom, but we quickly turned it around, and I think in a couple of wins we'd have been at the top half of the table. So, but we made a big decision that we wanted the right characters, not that they weren't, but people we knew, people we'd watched many times, people that hurt our teams. And it can't be led any more than our skipper, Carl Piergianni. You know, he got relegated with Oldham, but I think he was like five players for Oldham at one point. We played against them. When we came in, they beat us 1-0, and Carl probably went to some like 65 big headers defensively, and we thought not only is he a good person because we knew of him, but he's the type of character we want to bring in. So if I go back to my Rotherham teams and things like that, then there was big characters, and we signed big characters who managed the dressing room on their own, Clem, and just need a lot of back guidance here and there when it comes to being charged every week to try and win.
You always look for those big players that are effectively a mini Steve Evans in the dressing room itself, doing the stuff that you would do if you had to, but it's better for them to do.
Yeah, I think so. When we say about, I think I said it when we were back to 2014, when I was at Rotherham and beat Leighton Orient in the playoff final, my half-time talk was done with two men. It was done by Carrie Anderson, who of course was in the Iceland team at that time, and the team that beat England, and Craig Morgan, who was a full Welsh international at the time. They stood up and they were really, really vocal and high. And that allows you to then say, right, sit down, we'll go with this plan. And we've signed some big characters this year, the Sweeneys and the Piergiannis and people like that. They've been absolutely tremendous for us.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your player stats, and Carl Piergianni signing fully vindicated, been involved in all 45 of the league games so far, just one of those on the bench. I mean, his numbers are, there's one other, isn't there, in Dan Sweeney, as you say. So the two you've just mentioned there have played just about every second or been involved in just about every league game.
I think it's like, I've only ever been in Gibraltar once, Glenn, which is in COVID times when it was a green country, so you could actually go there. So myself and Sarah skipped out there for a few days, and my only thoughts towards those two is, what's Gibraltar without the Rock? It doesn't mean the same, does it? What would Stevenage have been without our weed two Rocks? We'd Sweeney and Piergianni, and we'd many other brilliant performers, but those two guys grabbed it. And in recent times, they were managing the dressing room for me, and it was us three used to meet in the morning, have a coffee and have a chat, and they would go, and the troops just were brilliant, every one of them.
So at what point did you think, yep, the decisions I've made have been vindicated, this is going to be our season? And are we talking within four games, eight games? Are we talking Christmas time? What point did you think, I've got this?
Well, I think we had such a wonderful pre-season programme. You know, we beat Derby County, we beat them fairly comfortably, we beat Peterborough Early Doors in the Carabao Cup, but 14 wins in our first 17 games in all competitions when we started the season, and considering the quality of opposition we're playing, was a bit special. And we had a desire, we scored a lot of late goals, which is the sign of a team that does do well over a season. And from early doors, from probably early in the season, to maybe even pre-season, I said to Paul Rayner, we may not win the title here, but we're both very close. And we got through January. And, you know, when we touched on that blip, which we did a minute ago, I think some of it came. We played Aston Villa and the world went crazy from a Stevenage point of view. And then we went to Stoke and we came out of Stoke and we went to Harrogate. We drew the game and we conceded late. And I thought we've probably lost our edge a little bit here. We've just lost our way a little bit, which can happen. So it probably took us a little bit longer than it should have done to get the boys back on track.
Now, in terms of celebration, obviously I wasn't at the game. I can only go on the sort of shortened version of the pictures that I've seen and things. Was there another one of Steve Evans' extravagances in the mix there? No sombrero? I mean, I was at Wembley in the game that you allude to when you were conducting the fans and singing at full voice and things like that. How were your celebrations? What were you up to?
They were brilliant with the fans on the pitch. They kindly went off and let us go back in, and we're in the dressing room and our chairman came in, and so he got drenched in champagne and probably ruined his £1,000 suit, but he was laughing, which is unusual, you know. But actually, after the game then, when it all settled down and the celebrations were moving on to later in the night, the staff and the players all went down to the old town in Stevenage and mixed with the fans and in and out different bars. And I come home because I had to present the awards at my first club, proper club, Stamford. So I presented their end-of-season awards on Saturday night and I got a very humble reception. I arrived slightly late because I've come up from our game. But a wonderful evening.
Wow. Going full circle there. I'm just going to remind everybody, obviously, Leighton Orient and yourselves up. One more automatic promotion place up for grabs. Final round of fixtures, Monday lunchtime. Bradford at home to Leighton Orient. Mansfield, who are just outside the playoffs, they go to Colchester. It's Salford against Gillingham. Stockport at home to relegated Hartlepool. Carlisle go to Sutton. And Northampton to Tranmere. What would your advice be to John Brady right now, the Northampton manager? Needed a win at the weekend against Bradford, didn't get it, lost, and as a result, although his team obviously have a 2-point lead over the team in fourth, they still need to go and get a win at Tranmere to be sure of getting automatic promotion.
Yeah, I think if there's you know, there's teams in the mix here, isn't it? It's not just Northampton, but I think Northampton obviously are in pole position. I think what John will not be able to do very quickly is, from the players that were there last year at Barrow, when they, to me, shouldn't have lost out in promotion, but they did. I think he'll be working a little bit harder and smarter with them. But John's been around the course now for a couple of years. Just be relaxed, be calm, be the way he normally is. Get your strategy right. Tranmere's a real difficult place to go. It's a real tough place to go. I keep describing Scousers like Glaswegians, like me. When you think you're going to turn up and have a party, they want to spoil it. And so it's going to be tough for John, but it's going to be tough for everyone on Monday. There's a major, major prize to go up into League One with the clubs and the size it is now. And not only John, but the other managers involved. And I really wish them all well. It's I think there's a couple of those games on the television. Live, so that no doubt both benches will be saying they're not going to be told what's happening, but supporters will tell them.
Yeah, and somebody like Nigel Clough, in charge of one of your former teams, there's been a lot of those, Steve. We won't use the phrase one of your former teams too often, otherwise we'll have to extend the podcast by 15 minutes. going to Colchester, 3 points off the... I mean, I guess all you can do is get your head down and win your game. That's all you can do to be so that you're sure if somebody in front of you slips up, you squeeze into that mix there.
Yeah, and I feel for John and Carl and Radford. You know, they're incredible owners. And I feel for Nigel. I think we lost there 1-0 up 2 weeks ago, and I think when they beat us 1-0, probably me in my opinion, a draw was fair, but it could have gone either way, so they win it. But I think there was a feeling inside the camp at Mansfield then they'd done enough. And I think that's always a dangerous thing to have. But they'll go to Colchester, and all Nigel will be focused on is, you know, can we go there and win by 2 or 3 goals and then look over our shoulder and see what's happening elsewhere? But they've got to take care of their own business. It's the same as John Brady. We said it before the Grimsby game last Saturday. Clem, if we take care of our business, I don't care what's happening. We can't affect anything else in the country. And if we win, we're up. And John Brady is I got on really well with John. He's a real positive boy, and Colin. And I think they'll be very focused and saying, we look after ourselves. If we win at Tranmere, we're in League One, end off. So it's, and if you look at Nigel, Cloughy will be thinking, I've just got to turn this around. I've got to hope that something falls for me. And all those teams competing just for a playoff spot, it's brilliant. It's fantastically exciting and nerve-wracking, and I'd rather not be in it. But
I was about to say to you, it's all right for you to say you've got the prize. You can sit back with a little beer and relax and enjoy it, but you wouldn't want to be in it.
Well, listen, if we'd have lost at Swindon and not taken care of Grimsby, I would want to be in it. I'd be wanting to get something at Barrow to be in it, because the one thing the EFL have got right is well, they got a lot right, and they got underpinned at times, but the playoffs are absolutely magical when you're in them. And I've always said I've won automatic promotion the last few days. Would I pick playoffs, Wembley winning, if it was guaranteed? As my wife says, 100% if it was guaranteed, that's where you would win promotion. But because it's no guaranteed, and we could see last season where, like, you know, certain teams go out in the playoffs when they're expected to win. And the one thing there's going to be is there are going to be 4 top-class sides in those playoffs. And it's we can always act as pundits or professionals and give an opinion. I don't think anyone will call it out those 4 sides, because they can all beat each other on the day.
The Colin that Steve refers to, by the way, is Colin Calderwood, the very experienced assistant manager that John Brady has at Northampton. Must ask for your thoughts on how tough a challenge it's going to be for Hartlepool United to come back from the National League again. I'll remind everybody they've been back for 2 seasons, having had 4 in the National League previously. You can't imagine the pain those supporters are feeling.
I think it's an absolute travesty they've got relegated. And in my opinion, without getting into who I think it is, there's certainly, in the games that I've seen, either been against them as a manager or watching them live, which I've done 3 or 4 times, they shouldn't be going to the National League. But results dictate where you go, don't they? But we went there a month or so ago, Clem, over 8,000 fans on the ground, the atmosphere absolutely banging. And but the reality is they'll find the National League very tough, because you only need to look at the fact that Wrexham have been marvellous under Phil Parkinson, but you look at, you know, Notts County, I think they've got 106, 105 points, something like that, and they're in the playoffs. Chesterfield with Cookie, I spoke to Cookie Colby a couple of days ago, Paul Cook, and if you're Hartlepool, you're going to have it tough next year, but if they get the right manager in, they'll have every chance.
Yeah. We're unsure what the future holds regarding John Askew. He's one of 3 managers that Hartlepool had this season. I am going to whip us into League One, if that's all right, Steve, because I know you will want to pay your own tribute to both Plymouth Argyle and Ipswich Town, who were promoted. And right now, if they win their final games of the season, could both top 100 points. Sheffield Wednesday could reach as high as 96 points and not take one of the automatic promotions. But what a race that has been in League One.
Well, it's incredible. I think if we start with Ipswich, I think Kieran McKenna's done an absolutely stunning job. And probably one of the unsung heroes is Mark Ashton, the CEO there. You know, Mark is a 24/7 guy, lives and breathes it. And but him and Kieran have built up something really special in Ipswich, is like the Ipswich we knew before, and I think they're destined for really good things in the Championship next season. I think you look at Plymouth, I think when Shuey took over, I think everyone thought the wheels might come off a little bit with the boss leaving, with Ryan Lowe off to Preston. But it was a duck to water, wasn't it? Shuey went in, he kept it going. They were bringing in January the players they'd probably spoke about in August, September, and he is he is going to be a stunning manager for me. He's Stephen. He's a humble guy. He's a good guy, but he's a street fighter when you have to be. So that's brilliant. As for Big Darren Moore, you've got 96 points, and you're not getting automatically promoted at the moment. You're not getting automatically promoted. He must be scratching his head, but he'll want to finish right against Derby at the weekend. And wow, Derby have to win, because if Peterborough win at Barnsley and Derby don't get to themselves, Derby will miss the playoffs. Unthinkable.
Yeah, absolutely unthinkable. I'll just tell people the League 2, Sky Bet League 2 fixtures kick off at 12:30 on Bank Holiday Monday, and then the Championship concludes at 3 o'clock. But League 1, Sky Bet League 1, midday kickoffs on Sunday. Peterborough go to Barnsley, as Steve said, at the bottom. MK Dons are at Burton. Cambridge entertain Forest Green. Morecambe have won their last three, go to Exeter. And it is Derby who visit Sheffield Wednesday. It's funny. Darren was playing it right down with Peterborough a few weeks ago. Then he went on a little surge and they pulled themselves into the playoff places. Yeah. And I know you live very close to Darren. And then they just haven't quite picked up enough and find themselves in the position they're now in, which is 2 points off the playoff places.
I think he was, I spoke to him with a couple of message exchanges after our promotion. And I just said to him, you know, I believe in Darren Ferguson. He can produce his team, that team, to win at Barnsley on Saturday. But he still needs some help. And that's because I don't think Darren thinks or anyone thinks they took care of their own business when they hit Bristol Rovers at home last week. So, but if any manager at Peterborough United can go and produce a result, it's Fergie. You know, and I know he believes. I don't need to say to Darren, make sure you believe. I know he believes, but my family and my wife's family are all big, big posh fans, as you know, Clem. So they'll be at Barnsley. They'll be at Maggie, that's for sure. So they'll be at Barnsley. And they'll be singing their hearts out. But they can do it, but they're going to need Sheffield Wednesday to do them a huge favour.
Bottom of Sky Bet League One. Is there a touch of some of the minnows hitting the wall? They've been exceptionally punching above their natural position. I'm talking about Accrington. I'm talking about Morecambe, but ultimately when you're up against some of those juggernaut clubs we've already spoken against, there is a natural order in some seasons it's going to catch up with you.
Yeah, I think without a doubt John Coleman should have manager of the century for how long he's kept Accrington Stanley through the levels and kept them in League One. John's done an incredible job, and if you look at Derek Adams up at Morecambe, they've suddenly produced three wins when I was hearing managers say to me, League One managers, well, Morecambe's down, they've gone. And then suddenly 3-1s, they're back in the mix. And, you know, there's a number of teams that could fall by the sword at the weekend into that trapdoor. So from that point of view, it's there'll be full houses around the country because there's much to fight for sure.
Steve, I want to take you back to where we started. Do you hold a memento, something, a medal, a mini trophy, a photograph from each of those nine promotions that we've been talking about? Or are you a kind of put it in a bag in the loft and forget about it kind of guy?
Yeah, I forget it. My oldest daughter does, Nicole. She has press cuttings, videos, as I would call it, you know, like footage, my medals, my manager of the month trophies, et cetera, et cetera. So she keeps all that, and you know, it's sometimes I go around and put it on the scene. I say, get out of here. And but yeah, so she does, but we don't. We just if I started leaving stuff like that around, my wife would be producing her championship trophies when she was British ballroom dancing champion many years ago. So so the answer is we don't know.
Listen, you're relatively young in comparison to some of the names I'm going to mention, but we see Roy Hodgson coming in at Palace. We see Leeds turn into Sam Allardyce. We see Neil Warnock, you know, going in at Huddersfield. I mean, you're a long way off, but are, I suppose, one of the older ones of the current managers. Is there no experience for experience?
No, I think it's massive. I can, in all three instances, and I'll go through the three that you've mentioned, Clem. I can remember people at behind the scenes, senior people at Crystal Palace were in disarray, didn't know where the next point was coming from. Crystal Palace diehards. The producer, Roy Hodgson, back in the door, and I said, he'll sort it. Roy will sort it. And I've met Roy a number of occasions. He's quiet, he goes about in his business in a very dignified way, but ruthless behind the scenes. Ruthless. Go back to Huddersfield when I was talking to Dean Hoyle mid-season. He asked me what I thought, and I said, I think you go down. Now, that's a private chat, and it's, you know, Dean had different views, but he was loyal. And the point, Neil Warnock, I went, he'll keep them up, the old soldier. He'll keep them up. And Neil does what Neil does. He wins football matches. Incredible. And so you look at that and you just think, just simply amazing, those guys. And, you know, when you look at Leeds United, you know, I've got Leeds in the middle of me because I was fortunate enough to manage them. And I do nothing but speak warmly of and applaud them. They should have changed months ago. They should have brought somebody like Sam in months ago. Because to use a chairman I've worked for 4 or 5 years, Tony Stewart, he used to have a lot of saying, Clem, if you're not in control, what are you? I'm asking you that, Clem. If you're not in control, what are you? Out of control. So Leeds were out of control in terms of performances and results. I'm not saying Leeds stay up. I don't know the playing squad enough to know whether Sam will work with them this week and we with Carl and Robbie and see what he can do. But, you know, from my point of view, good luck, big man. Come on, keep a great club in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, turning to a bit of experience is something that Stevenage did just over a year ago. Turned out quite well, Mr. Evans, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been fantastic, Clem. You know, from the first time I met the chairman, he was, for Phil Wallace's, and you know, a chairman, well, Clem, he's a very positive man. He's a quiet man. He runs a £3 billion business. £3 billion, not more, £3 billion. He goes about it in a very structured way. It's his business. It's no one else's. And so when I met him, he was saying it in a very dignified way. But, Steve, I think we've probably going to go down here. I think we've lived on borrowed time for 4 or 5 years. Can you come in and help us? And I looked at the playing squad, and before I met him, I didn't think there was a chance to go down if you get them organised. And then in the summer, it was about could the chairman and myself and Leon Hunter, our director of football, get together and come up with a strategy, come up with a plan and come up with the players and make sure we get value for money. And it's been an absolute magical ride. And, you know, sometimes when, and I can finish a bit that period then, Clem, is who motivates the motivator? I'm the motivator. I go in that training ground every day and I motivate everyone. I keep everyone on a high, from the ground staff to the catering staff to the players to the coaching staff to the medical teams. But in that little run of results, it's easy to get down. My chairman was there 24/7 and my wife was there. So there's two people that motivated the motivator, and I thank him enormously for it.
Been a pleasure. Many congratulations on number 9. Enjoy the summer, Steve.
Thanks, Glenn. Have a good one.
That is it for this episode. A big thank you and congratulations to Steve Evans and to Paul Heckingbottom. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. I'm Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.